This morning we've got a guest speaker. That's more a resident speaker now. So for our visitors, Nicole is our worship leader. She leads all the worship teams. And since we are diving into the spiritual disciplines, she's going to minister to us this morning about worship, praise and worship, what that is about. And I really trust that even as she ministers this word, that we will go deeper, even just in our response to God. Because worship is about Him. I must just say this off the bat, and I don't know if you're going to say this, but what we do in terms of worship is not a religious tradition. It's in response to the one who is worthy. And she's going to unpack it for us this morning. And I know it's going to be awesome. So can I pray for you? And then we can let you loose. Come on, let's stretch our hands to her. Let's pray for her. Father, I thank you that everybody has a first sermon. And that even as Nicole ministers to you this morning, that Lord, you've ministered many sermons. You have spoken to your people. And I thank you this morning, God, that she will simply be the vessel through whom you address us. Thank you, God, that for the work that you've done in her life, the journey you've taken on. And thank you this morning, Father, as she brings the word, that she can just obey you and your blessing will rest on her. Give us ears to hear what you are saying to us, your church, this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Yeah, first sermon. I know you prayed, but I also want to pray. Yeah, so Father, thank you. Thank you that we can gather together in your name. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you that, yeah, it's because of Christ that we can even know you. Yeah. Just surrender myself to you and ourselves, Lord. Yeah, be glorified in our midst in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So why am I standing here? I was just reminded of this scripture while we were worshiping. Psalm 27. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And I'm in such agreement with that psalm. That is my desire, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and just behold his beauty. How did I get there? How did I become, yeah, my worship journey, I told Pastor, I think my worship journey, I can't really divorce from my walk with the Lord. It's hand in hand. The more I worship, the more I get to know God, the more I get to know God, the more I want to worship. And yeah, the more I want to know God. So I think I have to give honor where honor is due. So my journey started, I need to honor my parents in terms of worshiping. I told Pastor that this was a normal, this kind of worship stance was very normal to me. I saw my dad do it all the time. I've seen my mom prostrate herself at my dad's funeral, like she was on the ground, just face down before the Lord. I've seen those gone before me worshiping God. So I've always known that God is real. And I've come to realize God wants to be known by us. My dad always used to encourage us to fall in love with Jesus. That's actually the next slide, Stephen. It's this commandment, the greatest commandment. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And this, I think this was, if we get this, this is what everything hinges on. If we fall in love with Jesus, everything else falls into line. The more we see Jesus, the more we become like him, the more we want, the more we love one another, because he imparts to us all the time. So I've encountered the Lord many times in worship, sometimes tangibly. It's very addictive. I've become very addicted to the presence of the Lord. And because my first encounter with Him was like when I was 9 years old, and I felt the weight of God's glory that I couldn't stand anymore. My legs just wouldn't, and I was crying, and it was just warm, and I felt so loved. And like, yeah, over the years, I've had times when I've encountered, yeah, some of God's glory. I've experienced His healing as well. I've worshipped the Lord when I'm in grief. There were times when I was just alone in my room, and I would just sit with the Lord, and I would feel His presence in my room. There been times when I was depressed and on antidepressants, and worship changed my life. It was when I realized, wait a minute, I'm supposed to worship, I'm supposed to have an attitude of gratitude. And then I started, instead of saying, God, and please help, I started saying, God, thank you that you're the helper. Thank you that you are the helper of Israel. Thank you that you are ever-present help in trouble. So I would start, declaring the truth. That was by worship. And I've been sometimes worshipped in defiance because I didn't feel like it. And then I had to still come and lead here, and I don't feel anything. And then I remember telling Pastor, like, I feel nothing. This is dry land here. But because God is worthy of worship, I'm going to worship. And I've seen how God changed my heart even in that. So, yeah, God is worthy of worship. This is a very big topic here. And it's big because if you think about it, God is eternal. We know that. If we, Stephen mentioned Revelation 4. If you have a picture of, that's a picture of heaven, what's happening there. God is seated on the throne. It's a very similar picture to Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah says, when the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, and his robe filled the temple, and there were angels and all that. So God is eternal. God is great. He's on the throne. He's worthy of worship. He's been worshipped. Before creation, He's been worshipped. When we leave, He will still be worshipped. So when we worship, we're just engaging in what's already happening. Okay? So it's outside of time. So I'm really just going to only scratch the surface here on worship and just maybe give a worship, praise and worship 101 summary this morning. We can move to the next slide. This is just it's a bit small, but it's just a picture of Solomon's temple. So like I said, God is eternal. God's perfect. His ways are perfect. He's the same. And His principles of old are the same now. So Solomon's temple was obviously built as a sanctuary, a place for the Israelites to worship God. And it was a mirror of the tabernacle. But what I want to point out here is there's a very logical step on how we come to God. So if this is how God instructed us to approach Him, you have to first come through a gate. There's the steps and there's a gate, and then you see there's the altar, and there's this upper inner court, there's great court, outer court, then there's the holy place, then there's the holy of holies, and there was a veil between the holy place and the holy of holies. And we know that the veil was torn when Jesus was crucified. So this, like I said, just have this picture in your mind. For me, it's almost like when we go to somebody's house, if you're going to visit me at my house, it's very logical. You must first follow the instructions that I give you. You must phone me so I can open the gate. Okay. Then you can come in the gate. Then you'll come into the house, into the living room. And if we want to have a private meeting, you can come upstairs and we can speak. But it's like, if you want to have a private meeting with me, you're not going to magically teleport into my room. Like, you have to come through the door. There's a way to come in. It's very logical. And so that's this. So I'm going to look at how do we come in to God's Holy of Holies. And based on Psalm 95. Psalm 95 is a worship psalm, and it's also a royal psalm, because it declares that God is king. So, like I said, just with that in the back of my mind, I'm going to just skip here quickly or just touch on. Obviously, the door is Jesus. So we can't come to God in worship without first coming through the door, which is Jesus. Jesus said, I think it's in John 10:9, that I am the door, and he said he's the way to the Father. So, yeah. So coming through the door, and then what does Psalm 95 say? It says, I'm just going to read it like I read it. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is great. Now he tells us why we're doing this. Because he's great, because he's the king, because he's the maker, he's the creator. Let's go on, Stephen. Or Bennett. So that first part was very loud. That's the psalm has three sections. This is the second section. It says, oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Very big emphasis here on the posture that we're coming into the worship part. And then he talks about for he is God. And then this third section, today if you will hear his voice, let's go to the next slide. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And then he talks about the people that went astray in their hearts. So this psalm has, like I said, three sections of coming. There's this praise part, there's this worship part, and there's this heart issue. So this, I'm going to actually go to the next psalm, 100. I'm emphasizing verse 4. Into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. So if you think of that picture that we had, we have to enter his gates with thanksgiving. So when we come to God, we come with thanks. Because very obvious, how do you give thanks? You say, thank you, Lord, for being and for everything he's done. And then into his courts with praise. So I'm not going to belabor the point of thanksgiving. I think we understand that. But now let's look, what do we mean when he says come into his courts with praise? Let's go on. So I'm going to look at some Hebrew words, because when we read praise in the Psalms especially, and well, there's a lot of other Hebrew words that translate to the word praise, but we just see praise. So these are, I think, seven of them. The first one here is halal. I might butcher the Hebrew, but please forgive me for that. So halal, this is where we get the word hallelujah. This means to celebrate, to boast. So I mean, you'll hear sometimes I do shout hallelujah because it's praise the Lord, it's celebrate. That's literally what it means. Yada means to lift our hands. Go on. Zamar, to sing, to play instruments. That's like Graham singing. Tehillah, to sing, to dance, to praise. This is very exuberant singing and dancing. I think even when David danced before the Lord, it was a little bit of this. And it's this kind of, that changes the atmosphere. Then Todah, the sacrifice of praise, again this thanksgiving, it's derived from that yada. And then Barak, to bow, kneel, bless God, okay? Shabak, to shout, to adore. So this slide is very busy, and I think that's because praise is a lot, there's a lot, and it's loud. Okay, so this is the Hebrew, but let's just look at English words. Let's go on. So in the Psalms, there's the word for come, let us praise, but then it also has all of these other words that it talks about and describes us coming into the courts. Come with praise and clap your hands. What does that mean? Clap your hands, okay? Shout. What does shout mean? Shout. Shout with, but not any kind of shouting, shout with a voice of triumph. Why? Because Jesus is victorious, because God is victorious. God is the king. Shout joyfully. We have reason to shout. When your team wins your rugby matches, nothing stops us from shouting joyfully. Why do we not shout even more so in church when Jesus has conquered death? So then lifting your hands, okay? Go on. Sing a new song. I know we sing a lot of songs, but
It says also sing a new song. Sing aloud on your bed. You don't have to only sing here in church. Okay, carry on. Dance. There's and the sound of trumpet, harp. There's all these musical instruments, clashing cymbals. Again, a lot of words here. Praise is a lot. It's loud. It's meant to be loud. How can it be quiet? If you think if God's voice is like the sound of rushing waters, how can praise of God be quiet? And so it must be loud also because it must be heard. By who? By God. It's yes, we need to hear it. Also, if it's, when it's loud, others can hear it. And then it's like, what's the fuss about? Then they can also come. It's about coming. This is the call. This is what Psalm 95 is. It's come. Let us come into his courts. Come with thanksgiving and praise. So, yeah, I think when we talk and we praise, praise is really about God. It makes us want to shout. I don't know if you ponder the greatness of God. I know for me, it makes me want to shout. So, like we sang this morning, I'm not going to be quiet. My God is alive. How can I keep it inside? So, yeah, I think I just want to challenge you. If you are not shouting praises, like, do you know how great God is? Like, actually, just let loose. So, okay, so that praise, I really want to emphasize this. Praise is, like I said, it's loud. It's public. It's not, we are not talking about meditation. We are not talking about quiet reflection. It's about exalting God. God is enthroned on the praises of his people. I shared this at small group. I listened to a talk from Derek Prince, and he says, when we praise, that word, God is enthroned on the praises of his people. It means, other translation says, he dwells in. Dwell means living. And in the Hebrew, that living means, you can say, you sit on. So the Hebrews will say, I sit in, if you translate, if they say they live in Brackenfell, it translates to they sit in Brackenfell. So that same word for God then, sits on the praises of his people. What does God sit on? He sits on a throne. So he's enthroned on our praises. So now it's like, we are acknowledging that God is king. Okay, and now when we're there, then what? Then we can go into the Holy of Holies. Okay, so let's talk about now worship. What is worship? So again, I'm going to the Hebrew, the original word that translates, well, from the Old Testament into our English word for worship, which means to make oneself low, reverence. How low? Low. As low as you can go. Okay? And that context is where, so this is the first time we read the word worship in the Bible, in Genesis 22, verse 5, when Abraham was taking Isaac to sacrifice him in obedience to God. And he said to the guys, he's going to go and they're going to go worship. And the Jewish translation, he's saying he's going to go and they're going to go prostrate themselves. Prostrate meaning like lying flat on the ground. I've got the dictionary definition of prostrate means lying stretched out on the ground with one's face downwards. And that's the adjective. The verb is to throw oneself flat on the ground so as to be lying face downwards, especially in reverence or submission. Okay. So that's the Hebrew word. This is the Greek word in the New Testament. So, okay, that was the Old Testament. What does the New Testament say worship is? Well, that word is proskuneo in the Greek. It means to kiss toward, to prostrate, again prostrate. Which, and this context was now when the wise men were coming to worship Jesus. Now, this word literally means bowing. In that Psalm 95, we read, come let us kneel, bow, and worship the Lord. This word proskuneo that adds this kiss toward. I'm going to demonstrate it. Let's just pretend that Jesus is here. And so it's this motion of kissing the, that's God's foot. Like kissing the feet of Jesus, like literally on the ground bowing. So if the word worship literally means to bow, prostrate, if we say we've worshipped and we haven't bowed? Have we worshipped? Yeah, I think that there's more to it though. Let's go to the next. Worship, okay, this is a quote from Bob Coughlin in his book Worship Matters. He says, it's about our hearts. It's about what and who we love more than anything. So, okay, so let's go on to the next one. He said it's about what and who we love. It's about the object of our worship. I know we come to God with our gifts. We, in the context that we read earlier, in when Abraham was coming with his offering, which was actually Isaac, the wise men were coming with a gift. They were coming with frankincense, gold, and myrrh. But it's not necessarily about our gift. We do come to God. I mean, you come to a king. Who comes to the king without having a gift, at least? But I think we mustn't get so caught up on the gift that we're bringing. We have to focus on who we are bringing the gift to, the object of our worship. It's not about you. I've put exclamation mark there. It's not about you. Like, for example, if when we come as a worship team and if our focus here is to sing a song beautifully, hit all the notes, and then great. If that's our objective, then we've missed the point. If our objective is not, well, we're coming to worship God. What? God is worthy of worship. Therefore, he's worthy of the best worship. It's God. So, yeah, so I encourage you to bring your best. You're approaching the King of the universe. Yeah, this comes back to the heart. I've put a reference in there of when Cain and Abel brought their gifts to God. Remember the story? Cain's gift wasn't accepted, but Abel's was. And Cain was very upset about that. And what was God's response? He said, he didn't even talk about the gift. He said, if you do well, will you not be accepted? Although Abel brought the firstborn, he brought his best. It was also, I believe, it was how Abel lived that made the difference. And how he approached God. He came, obviously, with respect and honor. It was about who he was coming to. He was bringing his best, whereas Cain, he was... He clearly had a bad attitude. I mean, he killed his brother. So, yeah, so definitely the heart. We can move on. So, we read about sacrifices and what is our sacrifice now? We don't bring goats and bulls and lambs anymore. Jesus is our sacrifice. But in this passage of Romans 12, he says, I beseech you. What does beseech? I implore you. I ask you urgently. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can prove what the good and acceptable, perfect will of God is. That holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In the Amplified, it translates it as, this is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. So us presenting our bodies to God, us being holy to God, is very logical. Why? Because God is holy. Therefore, we must be holy. How can God be holy and we come to God and then we're not holy? That was literally why Jesus died. To make us, first to deal with the sin and then to allow us to receive the Holy Spirit who sanctifies us and makes us holy. So why? So that we can be in the presence of a holy God. If that was the point of Jesus dying, so that we can come before God it makes sense that we would want to live holy lives to please Him. Because if we love Him, we would want to please Him. And if it pleases Him that we are not like this world, we are actually like Him, then let's do that. So what does this look like, though? Let's go on, yeah? I've always, for a long time, and I still do think this, I feel like worship is a lifestyle. It's not what we do here on a Sunday. It's what we do here, again, can be acceptable to God if our lives also, how we live is acceptable to God. Otherwise, it's just lip service. Otherwise, how can we just live any old way and then come to God and we say praises and then the next day we go and curse and our brothers and hate? And, you know, that's a bit of hypocrisy. And so a holy life is God-centered, surrender to God. Are we laying down and sacrificing things to please Him? It is very convicting. God has been convicting me so much. I've not arrived, guys. I have. The more I spend with the Lord, I realize there's things in my life that need to be dealt with. Because we live in the fallen world and we get distracted. So, excuse me. So let's go on there. This holy life is, it's really a question of, do you love God with your heart, your soul, and your mind? That first commandment. Do we love God with everything? I think this is, how do we show that we love God? We are obedient. We do what He says. How do you show your parent that you love them? And if they ask you to do something and then you don't do it, like, do you really love them? Challenging. That's why God says we must honor our parents. I think it's easier if we do that, then we can relate to God a bit better. We can do what He says. So this, disciplines of the faith, God has told us to worship, to pray, to fast, to serve, to do all these things. This is what the series is about. So in doing these things, that's a very different life from the rest of the world. That's a life that is more for God. That's more of a holy life, right? So, and then I put there, what do you feed your body, soul, and mind? If we're supposed to love God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, in Deuteronomy, which Jesus was quoting from, it says, with all of our strength. Our strength comes from our body and our soul, but are we taking care of our bodies, the body that is now the temple of the Holy Spirit? Are we taking care of our minds? Like, what do we think about? There was in Romans 12, we read earlier, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And Isaac's sermon was about meditating on the word. You know, you can change your mind by meditating on the word. So, this is a little bit heavy. I mean, I was looking at what does holy mean? A holy life. It's not just not sinful. It's like, it's not common. Well, opposite of holy is unholy. Like common, just the norm, secular. So we're not called to that life. God is calling us to a holy life because He's a holy God. So I want to encourage us. Let's love God the way that He's calling us to love Him. I think practical. We can move on. Oh, sorry. This how to worship. I thought I was almost at the end. I am almost. So the how to worship. So we talked about the sacrifice. What Jesus said. He was talking to a Samaritan woman at the well, and he says, "Woman, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain, nor in Jerusalem worship the neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. So he's saying it's not about where we worship. It's not about going to the church and going to the temple. Those days are over. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. So we need to know who we're worshiping. How do we know who we're worshiping? Well, his word explains very well who he is. So I strongly suggest getting into the word. Let's go on. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. He's not looking for, it doesn't say that he's looking for the best singers. He says looking for the true worshippers who worship, how? In spirit and in truth. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So what does that mean? Well, when we were born again, remember our spirits were dead? That's why Jesus died, so that we wouldn't have to die in our sin. So he died and we became alive. He said, that's why we're born again. Our spirit was born. So we need to worship God by that spirit. By that spirit that's alive in us now. That's how we need to be led in worship. Not by our flesh. Not by the body. Like, our flesh can be tired or whatnot. But it's not... We shouldn't be led by flesh and, like I said, by outward appearance. It's not about how it looks. It's not by our souls. Remember, we body, flesh, body, soul, and spirit. So... It's not, we don't worship when we feel like it. We come on the Sunday like, yeah, I'm just tired now, I don't feel like this. Like, that's not, then you're being led by your soul. You actually, how many psalms are there that says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Praise the Lord. Like, you talk to your soul. Your spirit needs to lead that. Your body and that needs to follow. You instruct your body. Like, I'm going to worship now. Body, you are going to lift your hands and you do the things, and the body and the soul, the feelings, that will come. But I encourage you, like, let your spirit needs to lead. That's what Jesus said. We need to worship in spirit and then in truth. Again, no hypocrisy here. We need to be genuine before the Lord. So, yeah, it's sincere. Said they're Christ-centered, word-centered, because we know, well, truth, being honest before God. But I also encourage us to worship in truth, in terms of his word, to know the truth and then really worship the real God instead of who we think God is. I think my worship has changed over the years as I've learned more about God through his word, because maybe I didn't... For example, I didn't understand that word, that God is my strength and my song, until I see the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then all of a sudden I just had worship songs in my head all the time. I could just be sitting still, and then I just had songs in my mind all the time. And I'm like, where does this come from? This God is my song. And he's my strength. Like, yeah, we've been weak, but you know when you've been really weak and then you don't know how you're going to go through the day, and then you discover God is your strength. And like, now that you kind of have an experience of that and you've seen it in the word and experienced it, like, you can actually truthfully worship God from that position. It's not just the head knowledge, it can be a heart knowledge. Yeah, we can move on. So this is now the practical, how to worship. we're trying to package it here, especially if you don't feel like you're really good in this area, or if you want to grow in worship, which I strongly encourage. So how do we worship? We start with thanksgiving, like we said. Thanksgiving is really about God's goodness. Giving thanks for what he's done. Like I said, just, yeah, thank him for, when I started thanking him for the smallest things. Thank you, Lord, that I could get out of bed today. Yeah. And then thank you for what he's done. And then that naturally leads to praise. which is about his greatness. Because how can God be good? Well, he's more than good. He's actually great. He's big, and therefore, okay. So then I've said, yeah, sing songs of praise. So this is more like what you do at home, right? I know we do this together, but I would strongly encourage you to do this at home, in secret, before the Lord. So you can start, like I said, singing songs. Like you can use music, but use music that is about God. When I used to do this I still do, but when I was a young teenager, I would just sit in my room by myself and I used to sing whatever songs I could remember that we sang at church. And then I would just sing those and then sing worship songs. And then I realized that this atmosphere changed in my room. And then I would have amazing times with the Lord. And then I could just read the scripture and he would open up the scripture. So I encourage, sing to the Lord in secret. Lift your hands, dance before the Lord. I should do this a little bit more, but again, this, you can't do it here in public if you're not doing it in private. So, and yeah, a lot of my dancing before the Lord is private. I remember when I started doing that, I think I was in university, and then I would start getting hot, and then you start taking your clothes off, and it's like, but I would have such great times with the Lord in dancing before him. And then declare, shout his praise. I encourage you to shout his praise. He's worthy of that. He's worthy of those shouts. And then also read the Psalms. I read the Psalms often. If you don't know what to pray even, go to the Psalms and read them aloud. Yeah. And just even like sometimes I read it with, if it says shout, then I will shout. Or if it says, just it's very practical. And then once you've praised the Lord, then worship him. That's now speaking of the holiness of God. So then do those things. Kneel, bow, prostrate yourself. So it's much easier, and I think this is why there's this journey like this. It's much easier to worship if you've done the other things. Like I said before, it's logical. You can't just end up in the bedroom. You have to come through the front door and then go through the living room, and then you get to the bedroom. That's not in a physical, but same with God, into the Holy of Holies, to his presence. Let's go through. This is his instructions. I was thinking this Bible is not BS. It's not biblical suggestions. It's biblical instructions before leaving Earth. So he's instructed us on how how to worship him, how to live, and yeah. So. Like I said, I would encourage you, even if it's like 5 minutes, don't set lofty targets that you can't achieve at first. But yeah, spend time with the Lord in worship. Once you then worship, you'll find it. I find it much easier to, like I said, to hear him, to hear from him. Because then your heart is in the right place. You're surrendered to God already. Ears are opened. So I think, how am I for time? I think I've done well. I want to just take this time now to, if anything I've said here has maybe struck a chord or something, strike a chord, yes. I want you to strike a chord. We've now had a session, we're singing and worshiping, and just an observation. I feel like I was shouting the loudest, but I don't like that, but I don't think it's... it's just a challenge here. It's not about the external, like I said, but I sometimes wonder, like, have we really seen God? Are we really worshiping the same God here? Because the God that I know has done a lot, and he's very great, and he's worthy of all the praise and all the worship. So this thing of, you know, Stephen talked about it's a sacrifice of praise. Sometimes that is a sacrifice. Like, I'm not a person who shouts. I'm also an introvert. I'm not an extrovert. These things, and I remember even the first time I lifted my hands, it was a lot. But I realized that first time when I lifted my hands, even I think it was just this much, and I was just in tears because I realized this means that I'm surrendering now to God. And then the more you surrender, the more you can, because you realize you're putting it into safe hands. So if you haven't really, you know, like we've said, praise, maybe you haven't really praised. Have you really praised? Have you praised God in terms of the way that He's instructed us to praise Him? Not suggested. Those are not suggestions in the Psalms. I think there's a thing of again, of sacrifice. Maybe there's something that you need to repent of that's holding you back from fully praising God, fully worshiping Him. Sometimes it can be pride or fear. But we need to deal with those things. Otherwise, how can we know God fully if we haven't laid ourselves before Him fully? So yeah, if there's something that you need to lay down before the Lord, I think it's just ponder that. And I think I realized, you know, I said earlier about how, I was privileged to grow up in an environment where I saw people worship and do this. I really saw practically the Psalms come alive, you know, in church, and people who would worship God with never mind everybody else. But some of us have probably not had that experience. Some of us have grown up in maybe a religious background where this is really weird, like to even have drums in church, or maybe we have a self-centered way of worshiping. It's like, what am I comfortable with, as opposed to who am I coming to worship, and what is He worthy of? If He said kneel, I don't feel comfortable kneeling, but I'm gonna do it because this is worship. Yeah, so I just want to, I don't know if there's, I guess I can open this up, like if everybody wants prayer on this. But you don't need to come up. You can also just find space around you. There's a lot of space here. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't even knelt before the Lord, now's your time.
So I think, thank you for sharing that. I think as I've been listening to you, it's, you know, when it comes to worship and even just the Hebrew words that she shared, I think it directly comes against me and how I think or worship should look like. And I think one of the biggest challenges each one of us are facing is, am I willing to prostrate myself? Am I willing to kneel? And I think the first thing that you and I have to face is ourselves in the light of this King that we are worshiping. And I remember when I first time I encountered an environment like this, and I stood there and these people were clapping hands and raising their hands, and I really honestly felt that that's like very weird, because even my religious tradition or how I was raised said to me that that is wrong. But I think what Nicole did so beautifully for us this morning is show us the scripture, show us what, you know, how God even desires for us to worship Him. And now we're in that place where we have to abandon ourselves and go, but it's not about me. It's not how you've been raised in church. Maybe you've never been in church, or maybe you've been in your church the whole time. I guess the question is, how do I respond to God when I hear this? It's like scripture in general. We've got ideas on how things should be done and on, but one, the moment we face the truth of God's word, it challenges my way of thinking and what I need to do. And I think that's where we're at here this morning. Is how do I respond to God from here? How is this going to change and transform my life? What am I going to simply do differently? Not because I'm now trying just to be different, but because I'm responding to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.